Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And as I told President Putin yesterday, the referendum in Crimea was a clear violation of Ukrainian constitutions and international law, and it will not be recognized by the international community.
It is the Savage Nation, missing plane, missing president, missing peninsula. Putin gets Crimea. Obama and the EU get a bankrupt Kiev. Tell me who got the better deal. Welcome to the Savage Nation. As you know, yesterday, the Crimean people overwhelmingly voted to secede from Ukraine and to join Russia. I have a question for you, the audience of the Savage Nation. Do you support this vote or don't you support this vote and why? But you have to be clear. You have to be clear in your statements. Obama and the EU say that they will not recognize this vote. What's intriguing to me is that they voted. Now, of course, they voted in Ukraine and they elected a president, but he was toppled by the West. He was toppled by McCain, who should be given an anti-Nobel Peace Prize. He should be given the war prize. McCain would get the war prize hands down. Remember, there was a president in Ukraine elected, duly elected. He was overthrown in a coup, steamed up by the United States and by the European Union, who wanted to steal Ukraine for their own needs, whatever they may be. And Putin said, not so fast, buddy. So we got a missing peninsula now in the hands of Russia, and it's a done deal. As we all know it would be. As I said from the beginning, it would have to be. We knew that we wouldn't go to war over it. You know, but you got to ask yourself a question. It's a strange question I'm about to put out there, but I'm a free thinker. I'm not aligned with any particular way of thinking. I'm a free thinker. Here's the way I look at it. We have a very weak president who is very punitive towards his political enemies domestically and very weak and almost non-existent towards his political enemies abroad. typical Martinet, hysterically mean towards his domestic enemies, because this is what he learned in Chicago. He doesn't know how to get out of ward politics. The man is still fighting battles in the wards of Chicago. Do you understand that? So to him, the American people are simply his enemies in Chicago. Now the man's on the world stage and he doesn't have the first clue about how to handle a triple or quadruple electronic chess. He's been used to playing checkers. You beat the opponent with a club. So is that a good or a bad thing internationally? At this point, you know what? It's a good thing. I'm glad he's a weak president. I am actually glad that Obama is a pacifist and incapable of handling international affairs in this case. Look what he did with Libya. He's now unleashed gangs. Warlords are running Libya. Why? By the way, this is an interesting side note. When Gaddafi was being overthrown by Hillary Clinton and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, he told the West, he warned us, he said, if you get rid of me, you're going to have the equivalent of Somalia here in Libya. Be very careful. We now have a Somalia-like situation emerging where Obama overthrew Gaddafi. And what happened in Egypt? Same business. They arrested Mubarak. What happened was Muslim Brotherhood took over. What happened in Syria? He's trying to topple Assad. For what reason? Assad's a monster. But the others are worse monsters. It's better to do business with the devil you know than the devil you don't know. That's an old adage. It works. It's an old movie called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Nothing to do with this, because it's St. Paddy's Day, Feast of St. Patrick, sort of a cult. It's a cultural holiday for a cult. And, of course, it's mainly an excuse to get drunk. It has no religious connotations whatsoever anymore. St. Patrick lived between 385 and 461, and today, how many Irish Catholics in America or anywhere else worship St. Patrick? They don't. So it's an excuse to go out and get drunk and throw up on a car fender. And if that's your idea of an exciting St. Patrick's Day, good luck to you, my friends. Go puke on a car fender. Just stay away from my shoes. because I'm wearing my blue suede shoes. Christians also attend church services, and the Lenten restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol are lifted for the day. Oh, I see. So it's a religious reason that they drink, too. Is that it? You know, that's a myth about Irish drinking, by the way. They're very low alcohol consumption in Ireland. You don't know that. It's an old myth, the Irish drinkers. Very, very old myth. Crimea vote. Approve or disapprove. Now, you'll notice why it's no longer on Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, or Al Jazeera. Do you notice why they dropped what happened in Crimea? Because it makes Obama look weak. It makes him look bad. So, therefore, it's not news. And already they're talking about the elections again for 2016, which I don't understand how you can listen to that. I don't understand it. So I'll ask you again. Do you support or do you not support the vote for secession in Crimea? I mean, I want a rational reason, though. By the way, it doesn't matter, Jack. Doesn't matter, Jack, what you think. I told you that 3 weeks ago. The Western powers are weaker today than the Chamberlain era was in England. But to make the comparison between Putin and Hitler, as Hillary did, is absurd. It's stupid. Of course there are loose parallels. The Sudetenland, Czechoslovakia, we get it. It's not at all the same thing. You want to hear why? All of you geniuses in the media who make believe you don't listen to me, but you do. All of you great intellectuals who write your brilliant columns and make believe you sneer at talk radio hosts because we're all such knuckle draggers. Let me tell you why, all you geniuses, why there's no direct comparison between a Putin and Hitler. Hitler wrote Mein Kampf while he was in prison in the 1920s. So far as I know, I haven't seen a Mein Kampf from Putin. Have you? Show it to me. Show me Putin's Mein Kampf. So stop already with the Putin-Hitler analogy. It doesn't hold water because I can make an analogy between a Karl Marx, okay, and your hero, Barack Obama. But it would be an inept analogy because the correct analysis between Obama is a weak Leninist, incidentally. But let's not split hairs about Lenin and Marx. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We're kicking off on Monday today. The airplane story is still big, but what can you say that hasn't been said? We know, hello, now all of a sudden, a week into the thing, they're acknowledging the Muslim pilots may have hijacked it. You hear? Like, the first second you put two and two together, no, right away, Brennan, all, no sign of terrorism. First day. Plane is missing. We don't know where it is, how it is, where it went, how it went, up, down. We don't know, but it's not terrorism. That was the official government position. Not terrorism, not terrorism, not terrorism. Not related to terrorism. No Islam, no Muslim. No terrorism, no terror, no terror, no terror. Terror, no, 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 no terror. Terror, no. Well, now what they can tell is nuns hijacked the plane. Irish nuns on a junket to Ireland from Kuala Lumpur hijacked the plane that was seen running into the cockpit in order to make whoopee with the pilots. You idiots, you. Put two and two together, morons, and you can figure out what's going on. But that's asking for too much in the America of today. Sit and wait for the earthquake in L.A. Everyone's watching the news there. Earthquake near Westwood. 4.7 on the Richter scale. I think you want to talk about the earthquake, don't call me. 855. I feel that the Crimeans had democracy. We don't. How about if we had a vote of secession from Obama here in America? I think it would pass by like 80-20. If we were given the option, let's be serious for a minute, on one major issue that this character has not imposed a sort of dictatorship on with his pen. You hear a pen? I wouldn't mind if Congress voted on not to accept the Crimean vote. I would have said, all right, we have a Congress, and to put in sanctions. But no, it was him again. There he was again. The basketball guy comes out again from a party and tells us he's using a pen. He's putting sanctions on Russian oligarchs. Where's Congress? Do you live in America? What world do you live in? You're like living on a hijacked bus. What we have right now is government anarchy. Write it down. What we have now under Barack Obama is government anarchy. You have an anarchist running this country, not a Leninist. The man thinks he's a law unto himself. He needs to be stopped. That's my opinion. I've said an awful lot. It's time for me to listen to the callers. I want to hear about the plane, the missing president, the missing peninsula. The deal is real good for the world. Putin gets Crimea, and Obama got to bankrupt Kiev, which we're going to have to bail out. You hear this? We're sending the money. Now, McCain should be stopped at the airport on the way back and arrested by Interpol as an international war criminal. You know, I got to give McCain credit for one thing. How does an old maniac like him get this energy? From CNN to Fox to MSNBC to Al Jazeera, wherever there's a camera, the drooler is there. Wherever there's a camera, the drooler is there, he appears. All of a sudden, he's drooling all over the camera, and the next thing you know, he's flying to Ukraine over the weekend. I'd like to know what his diet is. Now, his name is McCain. This is St. Patrick's Day. I'm not going to put any connection there. But I really wonder what his connection is. I do know that he was last in his class at Annapolis. I also know that he splashed 4 airplanes in his brilliant naval career. You say, well, what right do you have to criticize him? I have no right, but I have every obligation to do so. Let's put it to you that way. Does that work for you? I've put out now 5 things you can comment on if you had a brain. But many of you don't want to comment because you don't know what to say because you haven't heard it yet because you haven't heard it yet because you haven't heard it yet. I'm going to have a great show today. It's Monday. I'm in San Francisco. I gorged myself on bad Chinese food immediately before the show. I literally almost gagged on it. A minute before the show started, I gagged on the worst chicken curry you could imagine and a meat pie that would give a laboratory animal atherosclerosis after one meal. If you were to take a pig with healthy arteries and feed him what I just ate 3 meals in a row, you'd have to open the pig up and give him bypass surgery. You'd have to perform emergency bypass surgery, what I just ate. Look, this is the problem. When you're in talk radio and you have to fuel the fire, the fact of the matter is, think of me as an opera singer. Be my love. So I have a large barrel chest, and I have to fuel this. It's like a coal-burning furnace that I have. I can't eat a hippie diet. If I live on a hippie diet, I want to commit suicide from a lack of energy. Yes, I may live an extra 14 minutes, I think. But remember, I wrote the book on health. I wrote about 20 books on health. So I'm saying, oh, I don't believe in it anymore. No, I do believe in it. I do. But if you actually analyze chicken curry, it's not bad for my health. See, this is the thing you don't understand. The spices in the chicken curry, combined with certain other things that I took, like fish oil and vitamin E and C to make sure it didn't kill me, allows me to eat this poison every once in a while. And immediately after the show is over in San Francisco, I will not go to an Irish bar and drink. I will walk past all of the Irish bars where the drunks are and observe the death of the West. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
America, first of all, has to have a fundamental reassessment of our relationship with Vladimir Putin. No more reset buttons, no more tell Vladimir I'll be more flexible. Treat him for what he is. That does not mean reignition of the Cold War, but it does mean treating him in the way that we understand an individual who believes in restoring the old Russian Empire.
Yeah, John. Hey, did you see the story today of the pilot who came out 10 years ago in the year 2000, a Scotsman, an African man, burst into the cockpit, took over the plane, and the pilot, who was asleep at the time, jumped out of the daybed, tried to break his hands free of the wheel, and couldn't. I mean, you talk about white-knuckle flying. Couldn't get the guy's hands off the wheel of the jet. It was plunging toward the earth, so he poked. The Scotsman poked the African in the eye with his thumb. And that, of course, helped the gentleman decide to loosen his grip on the old steering wheel. They then called for some Scots passengers who came in and subdued the African gentleman, tied him up a bit. Now, that tells you never mess with a Scotsman. For one, they eat haggis. And for those of you who don't know what haggis is, it's worse than Chinese food in San Francisco. Let me tell you. And any man who can eat haggis, watch out, they'll poke your eye out if you try to take the control away from them, whether it be an airplane or I guess a woman. 855-400-7282. Yeah, McCain, treat Putin for what he is. How about treating McCain for what he is, a war criminal? A warmonger. A man trying to stir up World War III. Did you hear this? I got a loaded board. What am I automatically reading out my phone number for every, like on an automatic job? It's a knee-jerk if I read out my number over and over again. The board's jammed. You can't get on. All right, I got one open line. Any caller from Ireland, 855-407-282. Missing plane, missing president, missing peninsula. Putin got the Crimea, and Obama got to bankrupt Kiev. What a deal. What a deal. Obama's easy to do business with, I got to tell you. Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, where's Congress? Can anyone find Congress? What, another job with a pen? Another job with a pen. Another job with a pen. On track to restart the Cold War is what it is. As you well know, America suffered the slowest growth in Mr. Obama's first term of any president since the Great Depression, and long before that, the lowest growth. And there's only one way, one sure way to start an economy going, and that's a good old war. A good old hot war. And so there it is. Now you understand what the scheme is here, what they want, which is the military-industrial complex. I mean, it's about jobs. Doesn't matter if they fry a few cities. The main thing is that you could buy a new Volt. Let's take a few calls in the Savage Nation. WMAL, John, go ahead on the Crimean vote. What's your opinion?
Yes, sir, I absolutely do not agree with the Crimean people wanting to go back to Russia. It's just simply that, like this. First of all, it's none of our business. It's none of the United States' business. We should leave them to deal with it. But the reason
you're saying two things. That's right. It isn't our business. So why is our president saying we're going to impose sanctions and we don't recognize their business, their decision, rather?
Absolutely. I personally, like I said, it's none of my business, but we should have an opinion about it. My opinion is, if it was happening here in the United States, let's say California, children of Mexicans and Mexicans wanted to vote to say California should go back to Mexico, we should stand up in arms and say, of course not. In the Ukraine, because of the Crimean Peninsula, is populated by Russians and children of Russians. Of course they're going to want to go back to Russia. That's
all right, so it's a good analogy. So it's up to the Ukrainians themselves, the Ukrainian people themselves, to go to war with Russia. It's not our business, is your main opinion. Well, my opinion is not one drop of American blood is worth our nose in the Balkan affairs. Okay? It's as simple as that. It's not our business. Send McCain over there. I'm sure his uniform can still be found with some moth holes in it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Talk radio came with a warning label. Listen before it goes. The only
gas station masquerading as a country. It's autocracy. It's corruption. It's a nation that is really only dependent upon oil.
And you're a warmonger lobbyist posing as a senator.
And so economic sanctions are important. Get some military assistance to Ukraine, at least so they can defend themselves.
Sure. Yeah. A little dropkick McCain. A little dropkick McCain for St. Paddy's Day. Remember when I first heard this song in The Departed, how much I loved it? It was such a great movie. Remember with Jack Nicholson? Man, geniuses how they put movies together. You ever watch the credits rolling after a movie? Hundreds of intelligent people. And they're all stoned all the time. I don't know how they do it. But here we are. Look at this. Look at this. A peninsula stolen and nothing happened. They're already on to a picture of a blue sea. The geniuses in the media. When the plane disappeared, it's not terrorism. Sir, you're the head of the FBI. Not terrorism. No Muslims involved. Sir, you're the head of the CIA. No, not terrorism. No Muslims involved. Not whatsoever. Sir, you're the head of the intelligence agency, NTSB. Sir, there is no terrorism involved, and there are no Muslims involved, and I resent the fact that you're implying there's some sort of Islamic terrorism involved. No, sir, Bob, we will not tolerate racism in this country at any moment. A week later now, the pilot's a Muslim? Oh, and he had a simulator in his house? Whoa! Gee, that looks bad. That looks bad. So you want Michael's guess on the missing plane? Well, it's the same thing I told you on day one. Nothing's changed, my lads. Nothing changed. You see, you forgot it already because the vermin in the media, you see, smeared it off your brain. A week before the hijacking, you see, there was a little incident up in China where the Muslim Uyghurs went on a rampage. They killed 40 innocent Chinese people in a railway station with knives and axes. And they injured 170 Chinese. The Chinese people called it their 911. You didn't hear it. You were busy worrying yourself about whatever. So let me start again. A week before the hijacking, the Muslim Uyghurs, who are a separatist element in China's belly, went on a rampage at a railway station in China. They killed 40 people. You probably don't know 40 people total in your whole life that you really know. Picture them slashed to death in pieces. Now picture another 170 cut for life. Well, that was done by the Uyghurs. Now, the Chinese cracked down immediately afterwards. They said they arrested 8 of them, right? Now, do you remember just before the hijack, right at the time of the hijacking, a note came up? It said, if you take one of our clan, we'll get even with you, and they dismissed it. Do you remember that? I'm the only one in the media who remembers that. Well, a little note came back, and they said that you take one of our clan, and we'll never forget it. We'll take it out of your hide or out of your country. Now, they were telling you, now, immediately, all of the so-called officials, who are these empty suits on government, G-15s, G-16s, the emptiest suits America's ever seen are in government, came out and said, dismiss that statement from the Muslim separatists. They're nothing. We don't know who they are. It's a shadowy group. Don't know who they are. They didn't do it. Well, that's my best guess. The Uyghurs did it. And why isn't China telling us? Because they don't want a civil war. See, the Chinese people right now are extremely passive. They're into buying Hermes scarves and Buicks, whatever. They never had it so good under a mixed capitalist communist society. They're not into the violence, but you scratch the nerve of the Chinese people, you're going to see a war unleashed in that country, and that's the last thing the government wants. It would greatly shake the economy. It would cause blood and unrest, and they're afraid of it. So I would guess that's what's happening with the missing plane. That's my guess. I said guess, since we're all guessing. Now, as far as the missing president, he should be indicted for what he's done. I don't want to live in a kleptocracy like America. McCain has the nerve to say that Russia is a gas station masquerading as a country. He said it's a kleptocracy. Well, what would you call George Soros? What would you call George Soros, a kleptomaniac who manipulates currencies for private gain and then installs a president? He then says Russia is nothing but corruption. Would you say America is not nothing but corruption under the Chicago gang? He then says it's a nation that's dependent only on oil and gas for their economy. Well, what is America dependent upon for its economy? Websites? Websites and what? What is the basis for the American economy? So, you know, these people have blind spots that are vast. McCain has a blind spot with regard to Russia that's as vast as the Andaman Sea. You want to talk about any of this? Fine. WMAL, Jack from Washington. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. Jack. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. And?
And I just wanted to talk about McCain's record. First of all, politically, I could take or leave what he's done for his career. Right now, I don't agree with him. But just a few points on what you said, I'd like to clarify. I myself am a Navy F-18 pilot, and you said that he had, quote, splashed 4 airplanes, which is not technically true. He's lost 2 airplanes under his command.
Uh-huh.
One of which was from the Forrestal fire, where a missile got shot into his airplane, so I wouldn't count him wasting that one. The other one was when he got shot down in combat. But to question his record politically because he's splashed 4 airplanes, I think, is kind of a moot point. And furthermore, don't we want our fighter pilots pushing the limits and occasionally maybe even losing an airplane? It's like trying to get a race car driver to say, I want you to go win this race, but whatever you do, don't wreck.
So what are you saying? He was a good pilot?
I'm saying that the Navy's official stance is that he's only caused 1 airplane crash due to himself.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with McCain the man right now. Let's forget his past. We all bled with him when he was so brutally treated by the Vietnamese. We loved McCain until he suddenly turned somewhere a few years ago and became not only a friend of the Democrats, but a complete sellout of the Republican principles at their best. But the man is now an overt military-industrial complex lobbyist is what he is. That's what I'm concerned about, Jack.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I just wanted to point out the fact that I, too, am from the bottom of my class at Annapolis. And I think that going into his history regarding finishing last in class at the Annapolis and then splashing 4 airplanes has nothing to do with the fact that he's not being good legislator.
So that's why you're defensive of him.
But no, I'm saying that.
That's okay. I would like to have been last in my class at Annapolis, but I couldn't get in. See, in those days, there was no affirmative action, Jack. Today, if you take a look at the class in Annapolis, you think you're in an inner-city high school.
Sure. I agree. But
I love the pictures over the weekend of the U.S. Navy destroyer searching the Indian Ocean for the missing jetliner. They showed a certain type of young ladies with binoculars scanning the sea as though they were the face of the new Navy. Did you just love that?
Yeah.
I guess they didn't teach them how to use radar. They're still working with a 18th century instrument. They haven't yet brought them up to the 19th century.
I'm just saying, the fact that he was last in the class at Annapolis, I think would make him arguably a better politician than a community organizer from Chicago.
I would have voted for McCain if he only wanted to win. But I think he ran to lose. That's what I say. I certainly loved McCain. I only don't know what happened. I think something went wrong along the way. Something went wrong along the way, Jack. What'd you fly, by the way?
F-18s.
Where'd you fly them?
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Did you crash any?
I did not.
Now, going back to McCain's issue on the forest stall, the Zuni rocket that was set off by accident was from another aircraft that was not from his plane. Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure of that.
Okay, I'm not sure either, because according to what I remember, and it was one of the most horrendous things to watch, I thought he pressed the wrong button while it was sitting on the deck, and he fired a Zuni missile, which hit an adjacent parked aircraft, which started the chain reaction. That ship almost burned to the ground. If it was not for the fire crew, that ship would have gone down.
Oh, sure, they almost lost the ship. I do not know if the missile was from his plane or another, but I know that he didn't cause it.
Okay, well, I know that he's pressing the wrong button right now. That's all I know. He's pressing the wrong political buttons right now, and I think that the man needs to be stopped. And my not-so-jokingly joke is that if there were an anti-Nobel Prize, he should get it, because that's what he's doing. Time is 43 minutes after the hour. This is Michael Savage. And the phone number here, I'll give you to the one open line, 855-407-2282. The missing plane, the missing president, the missing peninsula. It's all done. It's a done deal. WMAL. Again, I can't take MAL, 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 MAL. Let's go to ABC. WABC in New York. And I'll do this again. WABC in NYC. Give me 15 minutes. And I'll give you the Savage World. Lisanne, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I was just going to say that if I was Crimean, I would probably vote to be a part of Russia. And I wouldn't want to be a part of the Ukraine. The Ukraine is a mess right now, and they're going to be beholden to the West, always looking for handouts. Where with Russia, especially after watching those Olympics, there's a lot of pride in that country right now. And I know if I was Crimean, I'd want to be part of the winning team.
Well, that's a clear way to look at it. It's a clear way to look at it. I wish we could vote on whether or not we wanted illegal aliens to be granted amnesty. I wish there was a vote. Isn't it interesting watching a vote take place in Crimea? I haven't seen a vote take place in America since this gang took over America a couple of years ago. Where's the vote on a national issue of such importance, such as illegal amnesty? Let's start from the top. Oh, we don't recognize the vote. You don't recognize the vote? Good. You don't recognize the vote. A Putin shaking in his boots. He's just shaking as he wrestles a polar bear. That's all. And Barry's got the girl jeans, the chick jeans on with the bicycle helmet. He's shaking. He's just shaking over there because the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, Susan Rice, he's afraid of. He's afraid of them? He's afraid of these academic monsters? I don't think he's afraid of the academic monsters. Now, don't call me a Kremlin apologist because I'm not. But don't now say that he's going to rebuild the entire Soviet empire. There's a very complex story in the Soviet years that needs to be discussed on this program, and I think we should do it this week. And you have to compare the Soviet empire to the new Putin empire that looks like it is being reestablished. I do not yet see any gulag. Do you? Let's put aside what Putin did. Is there a gulag anywhere? Many of you don't even remember the Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, which is a book that shaped a generation, including mine. We hung on every word of Solzhenitsyn. I read every book of Solzhenitsyn, and the most important one was the Gulag Archipelago. And what you don't know is this. In a thumbnail sketch, Solzhenitsyn was a great hero of the intelligentsia in America while he was imprisoned and sending out the book, The Message in a Bottle, from the Soviet slave labor camps. But when he came out And the minute he established himself as a Russian nationalist, the elites in the West dropped him like a hot potato. They hated him. They thought he would be a diehard communist like them. Or let's say a one-world Leninist. Let's put it that way. They had no room for Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Once they realized he was a Russian nationalist, they dropped him like a hot potato because that's not the agenda of these people. Kerry the Ketchup, for example. Where is Kerry now that he lost every match against Putin and Lavrov? Where is he? Where is Kerry? Where'd he go? Notice that the media has helped him? Instead of showing him ashamed with the droopy eyes, the suit, gone with the wind. No pictures now. Where is Hillary Clinton, who called Putin Hitler a week ago? She said we need to reset our relationship with Russia. They're so wonderful. Don't you remember that? They're our friends. Where is any recognition of any of these wonderful geniuses? Nowhere, because they own the media. All right, so these are the topics. That's all. It's wonderful today. It's good. We're playing Irish music in honor of the drunks out there. I don't know why you have to drink if you're Irish. I don't understand it. Go and have a mug of tea, for God's sakes. You don't have to get drunk just because it's St. Paddy's Day, who drove the snakes out of Ireland. Did he really drive the snakes out of Ireland? Is that really true? That was a long time ago. They still had the potato famine, even though there were no snakes, when you think about it. Happy St. Patrick's Day, the Feast of St. Patrick, cultural and religious holiday celebrated on the 17th of March. And the patron saint lived between 385 and 461 Anno Domini. You don't even hear the words Anno Domini anymore. It's called not allowed. St. Paddy's Day was made an official Christian feast day in the early 17th century and is observed by the Catholic Church, the Anglican Communion, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and Lutheran Church. The day commemorates St. Patrick and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland, as well as celebrates the heritage and culture of the Irish in general. Celebrations involve public parades and festivals, and the wearing of green attire or shamrocks. It doesn't mean you have to go out and puke on a car fender tonight to be Irish. Where did you get that idea that puking on a car fender makes you Irish? I don't understand it. All right, things change. Does a Jewish person have to stuff themselves with a corned beef sandwich every time there's a Jewish holiday? There'd be no Jews left in one generation. Oh, God. That's not meant to be offensive. I'm just schmoozing with you here on the show. McCain got hit by a missile. He didn't do it. All right, I accept that. But now he's hitting the world with a missile. We all respect McCain for his service to America, and we cried for him when he was so brutally mistreated by our good friends, the Vietnamese. And now we have the Islamic attack on the airplane to worry about, and not one word from anyone in the media is putting the, you know, I was in Malaysia. God bless them. It's a Muslim country. Doesn't mean all of them are into the terrorism, obviously. That's a logical obvious, right? But, hello, it's a hotbed of radicalism. Muslim radicalism is in Malaysia. So you can't put two and two together? We know that Irish nuns didn't hijack that plane. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The main topics are, do you support the vote in Crimea, yes or no? Everyone has an opinion on it. Barack Obama has an opinion that it's an illegal vote, not going to recognize it. And it's hard to say, well, what do you think about it? Because if you say, well, I support it, you're saying then you're an apologist for the Kremlin, according to some chess players. And Democrats say that Obama's becoming poisonous to midterm candidates. He's certainly poisonous to the U.S. Constitution. How could a man get away with one executive order after another? I'm asking you. It's enough to drive a man to drink. We're also talking about St. Paddy's Day. We're talking about the missing plane, who done it, and any other news topic of the day right here on the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282 is the phone number, or michaelsavage.com. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Russia is a gas station masquerading as a country. It's kleptocracy, it's corruption, it's a nation that is really only dependent upon oil and gas for their economy. And so economic sanctions are important. Get some military assistance to Ukrainians, at least so they can defend themselves.
It is Monday, Chicken Curry Monday. Missing plane, missing president, missing peninsula. Putin got a Crimean peninsula, and Obama got to bankrupt Kiev. What a deal. What a deal. Here's a man who uses all of the terror tactics of a community organizer from the far left to intimidate his domestic enemies and is totally intimidated by any foreign enemies, which is a good thing right now, or else we'd have a nuclear standoff. So, you know, there's a blessing in the fact that we have a terrible president, when you think about that. I want you to think about that. No one's seen it my way. You know, I see things in a fifth dimension. I think God put Obama here so that we would avoid a nuclear war. And that's a very good thing to have a weak president. But think about if we had a Reagan in the office. I want you to think about it. And Putin said, I'm going to take the peninsula on Monday. And then the guy says, no, you won't. And they move ship. What, you want missiles to start flying? Because that's the option. And you know this man is not going to do that. So it's a good thing that we have a weak president. It's God's will. See, as I get older, I start to see things through the eyes of a spiritual man. It's spiritually advanced to look at the world that way, instead of eating my heart out over every time he uses a pen and a stool. Pen and a stool, pen and a stool, pen and a stool. Can his pen stop an earthquake in Los Angeles? No. Can his pen stop a speeding bullet? No. Can his pen stop a speeding train? No. Can his pen find a lost plane? No. But his pen can be used to intimidate his domestic enemies. For example, Harry Reid was about to be indicted or investigated, and Eric Holder, if you can believe it, pulled the FBI off the investigation of corruption. Can you believe how corrupt this government is? That Harry Reid was about to be investigated by FBI agents looking into some this or that, and Eric Holder, the highest law enforcement official in America, pulled off the FBI agents off the case. We're living in a world of warlords, kleptocracy. I love what McCain said, that Russia is a gas station masquerading as a country. It's a kleptocracy. Well, under Obama, this is a kleptocracy. Under Obama, it's corruption. And what's even more ironic is that under Putin, Russia is a nation that's really only dependent upon oil and gas for their economy. I wish we were dependent on oil and gas. What is this economy based upon? Websites and printing money. We used to be dependent on oil and gas. We still could be energy free of the Arab oil sheik gangsters if we'd frack and run oil in from Canada and start building those refineries that we need, you know, to change the shale into liquid natural gas in the Gulf, which is going to happen anyway. But, you know, there's such hypocrisy here. It's something to behold. It's overwhelming hypocrisy. Here's Obama and McCain saying that self-determination is a threat to U.S. national security. Can you believe this? That we support self-determination when it's in our interests, and we oppose self-determination when it's not in our interests? You know, think about that. And this is a very dangerous time for that reason. It's the Savage Nation. It's Monday. It's snowing in the east. Of course, the government bureaucrats stayed home to be with the children. I used to go to school in the snow. Not anymore. Why did the government bureaucrats shut down the government for the day? I thought that they're not supposed to shut down the important government. By the way, they shut the government down. Nothing changed in my life. Everything's working, even though the entire federal government is home for the holidays. They took a three-dayer because of the snow. It has not affected anything that I do in my daily life. Oh, I know my national security is in good hands. They didn't know where the plane went for a week. They had no idea. They had to read the websites to figure it out. They figured Irish nuns hijacked it. Anything but the obvious. 4.4 mag rocks westward. Apparently the great one couldn't stop the earthquake with his pen. The Crimeans toasted the future with Moscow, and apparently the great one couldn't stop it with the pen. What else? Lightning strikes twice. Where is this plane? I tell you, I'm again taking an educated guess. It's the Uyghurs, the Uyghur separatists. It's a hard name to pronounce, so you know, that's why you don't see it much in the media, because no one knows how to spell it. Think about why ABC, NBC, and CBS aren't running Uyghur separatists anymore. They can't spell it. They can spell Earth and Quake. They know how to spell Putin and Obama. They've learned how to spell Crimea. That took 3 weeks to learn how to spell Crimea. It took a month for them to say Ukraine instead of the Ukraine. So you don't expect them to, how are they going to learn how to say Uyghur overnight? This is going to take day after. Imagine Wolf Blitzer learning how to say Uyghur. He has to stand in front of a mirror while not shaving and say Uyghur. Now say it again, Wolf. No, it's not Uyghur. No. Well, with a coach, a voice coach. All right, well, start again. Get out the Barbasol. Maybe you'll be able to see better without some of that fuzz in front of your eyes. Okay, well, say we. Say gur. Now put it together. Uyghur. No. Not Uyghur. It's not Uyghur. This is not a zoo thing. Say we. Say gur. We gur. Okay, now put the two together, Wolf. One, two, three. Gur. No, not gur. It's Uyghur. There are places they can't pronounce, so that's why they're not even reporting on it. It makes them look stupid. Same with things they can't spell. Plane take. All right, let's take some calls now. George on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Michael. How about a spy novel scenario for the missing plane? It was taken to Tehran. It's going to be altered and turned into a Trojan delivery system.
Ah, that's so stupid. Come on. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I've been reading about that for a week. You know, I don't understand how people can keep repeating the junk they hear on the Internet. Why does Iran need another 7-7 to turn it into a Trojan delivery vehicle when they have an entire domestic planes? Iran has passenger planes. George?
Yeah, I'm listening. No, I got to understand that, but I figure maybe the plane could be used.
Yeah, all right. I figure you read it on the Internet. That's all. I heard it all week long. Oh, the geniuses, they're going to turn it into a Trojan horse delivery system. I mean, Iran never saw an airplane before. What, do they fly around on Persian carpets? I mean, these people come up with things. But Iran has no airplanes. They needed to hijack one. They don't have passenger jets and an air force. Now, they fly around on Persian carpets. That's how they've been flying till now. All right, let's move on. You know, I mean, Neil, does this, you've heard this for a week now, a Trojan horse. And then they repeat it like they discovered it. Oh, they were waiting for Monday to call the Savage Nation and talk about, yeah, they hijacked it, turn it in against Israel. I had to tell someone over the weekend, sir, you do know that Iran has their own air force, and they do have a domestic airline. I think it's called Sharia Air or something like that. Sharia, fly Sharia Air. There'll be no dancing in the aisles on that one. where is that plane? Last week I opined a guess that it was lost on Kim Kardashian's behind, but no one followed up on that one. WJR Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Michael? What's on my mind is why this has happened in Crimea and why Putin has chosen to do this now. I think that he obviously sees the weakness of our president, and not only the weakness of our president, but his total lack of credibility. He sees a United States president that's willing to lie to his own people. And I think this is further damaging our position, our standing in the world. Nobody wants to deal with this guy anymore.
Well, we have no standing in the world. Listen, everyone's laughing at Obama behind his back. He is a laughingstock on the world stage.
Yes, and that's
but we all, you see, but here's the thing. But we all fear him domestically, don't we? Because we know he's tyrannical.
I don't fear him. No.
I'm going to tell you something. Every time I get on the phone now and I talk to someone, do you know what I say? in every conversation? I start talking about the NSA spies that were listening in on our conversations, and here's what I say. The day will come that we have a legitimate government again. I hope to God these college girls who are listening to me are going to be arrested and thrown in jail for 20 years for spying on innocent Americans. And I say, if you're listening, you piece of garbage, I'm going to find you out. I'm going to put you in jail for 20 years. And if every 10 million Americans said that to these lousy loser college grads working for the NSA, I can guarantee you something would happen. You talk about resistance, Mark. You talk about resistance. It has to start with cursing the spies who are listening into our phone conversations. WJR, Steve, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation. I'm in a sweat. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I'm just amazed at the stark hypocrisy of the Obama, McCain, Kerry vis-a-vis the Clinton treatment of the Serbian people in Kosovo.
Oh, well, that was legitimate to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. Well, that Clinton did it, so it must have been legitimate.
Yeah, and they talk about you cannot...
Madeleine Albright is a war criminal. Madeleine Albright orchestrated that. Or let's see, she was the mouthpiece for it.
Exactly.
They stole Kosovo from Serbia, been part of Serbia since the 1500s. I covered it for 72 days while Clinton was bombing the Serbs mercilessly. It was the worst 72 days of my radio career.
Talk about national sovereignty and its violation.
No, there is no national sovereignty when it comes to America. You want to talk about the biggest hypocrisy of these liars, these empty suits? They talk about Ukraine like it's sacred. Integrity, borders. I'd like to hear them talk about the integrity of American sovereignty. And I'd like to hear them talk about our borders, wouldn't you? With Mexico, I'd like to see them put troops on our borders and keep this flood of illegals from coming in here. How dare they tell me to be concerned about Ukraine while they punctured our borders and made it porous with Mexico?
Exactly. You have no sovereignty.
Now listen, I know what I'm talking about. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Oh, I have a question for you. Oh, goodness. Keep two open lines for this. Oh, are you ready for this one? Oh, I'm so glad I remembered. It must be all that bad Chinese food finally reaching my brain. It took an hour and 18 minutes for the fat molecules to get up into the higher hemisphere of my thinking. Fat is good for you, actually. You know, that's why so many people in America are so stupid now. They're on such lean diets they can't think. They have no testosterone and no brains. But they look good. They have nice abs, no brains, but great abs, but no brains. You do need a certain amount of lipid flow in your blood, you know. So anyway, it finally reached my brain a minute and 20 into the show. This is a really important question to me. As I told you, I have a huge book, my last nonfiction political book, I believe, coming out in October, and I call it Stop the Coming Civil War. Well, I thought long and hard over the weekend, and I want to change the title to Borders, Language, and Culture. Which title would you buy and why? It's still not too late for me to lobby my publisher. I can stop the presses. I'm still working on the book because things are terrible, but would you think, well, let's put it another way. Which title appeals to you more and which title would you probably take to work and leave on your desk? Stop the Coming Civil War or Borders, Language, Culture, The Savage Truth? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. We're talking about planes, presidents, pens, and peninsulas on the Savage Nation. And, of course, you know the topics. I also opened up a new topic at the end of the segment. My new book, my giant book. I know it's going to be a bestseller. I know, one way or the other. But which book would you take to work and put on your desk to shape the course of the next election and perhaps save America from these gangsters in the next election? Would it be Stop the Coming Civil War, or is that a little too extreme and a little too limited? Or would you prefer Borders, Language, Culture, The Savage Truth? I'm going to take it because I'm going to let my audience help me decide. Lori on WABC, which book would you buy?
I would go for Borders, Language, and Culture. The other one sounds like conspiracy theory, and it's the way everybody else is talking about it. It sounds so extreme. This hits the mark, Borders, Language, and Culture.
Well, that's very succinct. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, Lori. I'm going to send you a copy of my last bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, if you'll stay on the line.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's my special St. Patty's Day present to you. That way you can stay home and drink alone. Or she wouldn't have the book by tonight. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Does anyone want the coming civil war? Lee on KKOH. Reno, you vote the other way. Lee, tell me why you like Stop the Coming Civil War.
I like it because it's an eye catcher. You see the word war, you're going to automatically be drawn to it, and you're going to want.
Yes, but here's why I'm hesitant to publish it as Stop the Coming Civil War, and I have the cover already made. You want to hear why? Because it's going to be categorized immediately as an extremist position. Whereas if my book title is what has been the motto of my show since 1994, Borders, Language, Culture, maybe that will wake up the dumb politicians on both sides of the aisle what the people really want, which is our national sovereignty and our national identity.
Well, the way I see it, there's a lot of people right now, especially with under this administration, that do think that this country is going to end up finding itself in the civil war if this man's not stopped.
All right. Well, that was my original fear. That was my original fear, but it may be targeted too much at a specific audience. The other one, Borders, Language, Culture, may have a much wider appeal. Moreover, people are very cowardly, and I think they'd be afraid to have the book Stop the Coming Civil War on their coffee table or at work, whereas Borders, Language, and Culture, I think that they would risk taking to work and putting it out on a workstation. So people can say, well, what's that book about? And they say, well, it's about borders, language, and culture. Well, what's that? Well, America's defined by its borders, language, and culture, and then you can open up a conversation. So I'm thinking that would be a good title. Okay? Crimea vote. You approve or disapprove? Where is the airplane, the missing plane? Who did it? Wet Start McCain we're going to talk about. And the Zuni missile. Wet Start McCain, who should be given the anti-Nobel Peace Prize. Or the war prize. Where does he get this energy from? You gotta, I tell you something, the McCain genes are amazing. From one TV camera to Ukraine, is he back yet? I dread the minute he lands, there's gonna be 80 cameras for that old drunk.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Riverdance.
560 Riverdance. KSFO.
You've heard my. Remember river dancing was big about 10 years ago? Where'd that go? Whatever happened with it? It's like Sharia dancing now. Where'd they go? No, whatever happened to the river dancing? Was it too risque? I don't understand it. It died out. It was the hottest thing in the mid-90s, remember? Everywhere you turn, all you heard was clacking shoes on wooden stages. And the skirts are flying, Danny. It was always a little, you know, I, as a cultural anthropologist, I look at a thing like river dancing. My mind goes back to the ancient times, the log throwers, and I know how river dancing started. You know, you don't want to hear the story. It's a family show. But it wasn't as, you know, clean cut as you may think. You got to understand, in the old days, whether it be in Ireland or your home country, the country was ruled by thugs. The meaner, the bigger, and the tougher, the higher up the totem pole they were. Of course, things have changed today. Now we have kind, gentle men running things, you see. But in those days, it was sheer physical strength and brains that ran the show. So you picture a motorcycle gang running Ireland. Now, I'm not singling out Ireland. Take the meanest-looking motorcycle gang you could imagine and put some green on it. And you see what I'm saying? Now, okay, now let's go back pre-Christian times to when they would paint themselves and go into warfare like lunatics with axes and knives. Life meant nothing. You know what I'm saying? They would risk their lives for all because that was what it was made. So what do you think river dancing was then? What do you think it was? Shoes on wooden boards? And they gathered them up from the villages and had them put on a little dance for them. That's all. All right, let's let it go. It's too much for the average mind to encompass. No, as you see, my mind runs. See, I have a limitless capacity to imagine things. Both as a free thinker and as a highly trained cultural anthropologist along the way, a real master's degree with very good publications. But I have a fertile imagination. You know, you're only as good as an academician or as a scientist as your brains anyway. Doesn't matter what your degree is. You can have all the degrees in the world and be as dumb as a doorpost. Or you could be uneducated and have a fine imagination and be able to articulate it. But that's how I see things. So now we come to America today. Where does that leave us? It leaves us with a guy in the White House who has a pen and a stool. and he substitutes that for democracy. And I'm supposed to sit here and listen to this and say, what's wrong with this picture? Where is the plane? He knows all about Crimea and about the cultural integrity of the national sovereignty, of Ukraine, but he doesn't respect our national sovereignty. I really would like to hear that we're going to let ourselves vote on whether or not we want amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. Make it an up-down yes or no vote. Make it a yes or no vote for the American people. Let's stop what he can decide or they can decide, whoever lobbies these criminals more. I'm sick of it. Make it simple. I want a vote. Do you want amnesty for 30 million Mexicans or not? Yes or no? Up-down vote for the American people. Screw the politicians. Screw them. Let's see the 95% who say no. Then what is he going to do? Tell us that he doesn't respect democracy and he'll do it anyway? Are you kidding me? You know, don't get me started. I lose my temper very seldom lately for a number of reasons. One, it doesn't pay. And two, I'm not trying to imitate Frito. Okay, so that's number two. I mean, I don't go into falsetto range when I get angry. I go into another range altogether. Neil, you missed the cue. I'm sorry. You could have done the Frito piece, but don't play. It's overplayed. Are you at another water break? Neil, where are you? Every 2 minutes, this board operator is running out for a hydration break. What are you, a woman firefighter?
Let's send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things, I'm smart.
No, there was more to it, Neil. I'm smart. Don't you remember? I can do things. Poor guy. He died shortly thereafter. What was his name? I forget. He's an interesting actor. They made a big deal of him when he died. I forget. I don't know. All the actors liked that guy for some reason. Got the earthquake down. He has 24 mind-blowing facts about marijuana production in America. Are you ready? All of you potheads, pay attention. You thought your pot came from environmentally conscious hippies, right? No. The way dope is grown in America is anything but sustainable and organic. It's a polluting weed. Did you know that? Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, you thought you were doing something good for the environment? Really? Of the 22 million pounds of dope grown each year in the United States, 80% comes from California, Tennessee, Kentucky, Hawaii, and Washington. All right. So what does that mean? Well, let's see. That's trash, fertilizers, pesticides, propane, car batteries, illegal dams, and irrigation piping. And the destruction of our native redwoods. Did you hear that? You didn't know that. An indoor grow module accommodating four plants sucks as much electricity as 29 refrigerators. Did you know that, hippies? Hey, hippies, in California, indoor marijuana grows account for 9% of household electricity use. How's that for sustainability, pothead? Hey, potheads, nationwide, the electricity used by indoor grows is enough to power 1.7 million homes. That's the equivalent of seven large power plants. Hey, hippies, for every pound of pot grown indoors, 4,600 pounds of carbon dioxide goes into the atmosphere, Al. Did you know that? Hey, hippies, the production and distribution of pot in America emits as much carbon as 3 million cars, potheads. Hey, potheads, the energy needed to produce a single joint is enough to produce 18 pints of beer. Hey, pothead greenies, it also creates emissions comparable to burning a 100-watt light bulb for 25 hours. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Guess you didn't know a lot of things. You don't know where the airplane is. You don't know who did it. You have no idea what ethnicity might be involved or what religion might be involved in hijacking. You don't know the president is a crypto dictator. You don't know that Putin took a peninsula because he had to, because he was forced into it, by an illegal act on the part of the United States and the EU in overturning an election in Ukraine, or else this wouldn't happen. Never forget how this bowling game started. That's why they want you to legalize pot. So you can keep sucking your brain into your you know where. Well, anyway, if you want to read all of this, it's in Mother Jones. Mother Jones wrote that? That it's not a sustainable crop? My goodness, how could that be? That's almost journalism. How could that be? How could that be? The most dangerous drug on earth is marijuana. Why? Because, see, it's called dope for a reason, boys and girls. Your mathematical skills are reduced. Your ability to drive, to pilot an airplane, your ability to do most everything except fornicate is decreased on marijuana. The only thing marijuana improves your abilities in is fornication and digestion. But other than that, there's no reason to use it. I heard about the medical garbage. I heard about it. So take Marinol. Okay, you're using it to get high under the guise of legalized pot. It was started by George Soros. I argued over this in 98 with one of his stooges. I remember when they passed the bill. But, you know, I don't believe the government should control it anyway. You want to use it and poison yourself? Decriminalize it. You want to poison your brain. You want to limit your abilities in society. You want to limit your capacities to work, your capacity to work and to be a productive citizen. Go ahead. Go ahead. Make yourself into a bigger idiot than your mother said you were. What do you want to talk about on the Savage Nation? Give me some Irish music. I don't want to talk about pot. No pot calls. This car just fell out of my pocket. A dog walking service. I'm 10 years old. Dog walking services with license, professional, one-hour hike. Pick up and drop off in small groups. Look at that card fell out of my pocket. You ever see those crowds of dogs going? Teddy wouldn't fit in with them. He'd want to lead the crowd. If it gave Teddy to a dog walker, it would worry me. Because he's 10 pounds. He thinks he's 200 pounds. He thinks he's a ridgeback. He has no idea he's a little dog. Okay, what do you want to talk about now on the Savage Nation? John and WBAP, you're up on the air. You are up into the sky with Michael Savage and millions of fanatic listeners from WBAP. John, what's on your mind?
Well, hey, sir. Thank you for taking my call, sir. Are you
okay.
there?
Okay, and what might be on your mind tonight?
Well, you made a statement that got me started thinking about the character of John McCain. And you said, oh, let's look at him as a man. And I started thinking about a conversation I had one day at a dinner with Congressman or Colonel Sam Johnson.
And what came up about McCain?
Well, we were talking about Sam Johnson's history in the military and how, you know, he was the ranking officer at the Hanoi Hilton.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about John McCain and asked him, I said, well, because Sam was saying, well, he was there for 8 years and John McCain was there, what, five or whatever? And I never knew this at the time, but he started telling me, he said McCain had a chance to leave because his father was a high-ranking officer, and a lot of people knew this. And I said, wow. And I said, why didn't he leave? He said, to be honest, John, he said, I ordered him to leave. He said, I told him to leave because he could do more for us with his connections, with his dad, and everything in the U.S. than he could there. And he said, he chose to ignore my order and stay.
Well, of course, listen, let's be clear. John McCain is a certified war hero. We all love him and respect him for that. But he has become a different man. He's become power mad and, I believe, slightly senile. As the years have worn on, we've seen a different man emerge. Don't you agree?
Well, I also...
I don't think people understand what I'm getting at. You don't have to take away his heroism and his great guts to have put up with what those Vietnamese animals did to him in order to see that he is a walking wreckage right now. They're different. It's people change in time. They become different people. You know, as one of my professors told me in grad school when I first started, he was a wonderful medical doctor. He said, I was in the Alzheimer's research area for a while, and he said, one of the first things that goes in older people is judgment. You know, and the older I've gotten, the more I realize how correct that is. McCain is a very old man, and his judgment is gone. Feinstein is a very old woman. Her judgment is gone. Pelosi is an old woman. Her judgment is gone. Boxer is an old woman. Her judgment is gone. You listen to them speak. Now, the women were horrible 30 years ago, but now they're even worse. Now they're loony altogether. Speaking of which, Neil, can you dig up a Pelosi for me with a little a clock? Everyone loves the cuckoo clock. They need the cuckoo clock. Or you can run if you want. Wait. You can run McCain with a cuckoo clock if you'd like today, or you can run Obama with a cuckoo clock. Let's play Obama with the cuckoo clock. Maybe that would get people happy today for St. Patty's Day. Okay, let's just play clips, whatever, and a cuckoo job. And then we'll go into a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do the rest
today
of the
Today I'm announcing a series of measures that will continue to increase the costs on Russia and on those responsible for what is happening in Ukraine. First, as authorized by the executive order I signed 2 weeks ago, We are imposing sanctions on specific individuals responsible for undermining the sovereignty, territorial integrity, and government of Ukraine. We're making it clear that there are consequences for their actions.
Look, don't give me a break. I got to say this. You know, the only power we have left over this petty dictator is ridicule. It's the last thing left. We have no other power over these people. Why must we take him seriously? Just because he comes out because they gave him a fresh suit and a new tie and a nice clean shirt and with a pen? No. So we play the cuckoo clock. That's all. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
KSM. It is the Savage Nation. And I'm going to ask you some questions, really. Where is the larger dictatorship? Is it in the Ukraine? Or the Crimea, where they just voted? Or in America, where our president rules with a phone and a pen? Will a new Soviet empire emerge from all of this? Should we fear a new Soviet empire? Or how do you feel about this? Does the weakness of Obama encourage Putin to be bold in his actions? Okay, cut it out. You're having too much fun, Neil. Stop it. They're going to want to become you. They're going to want to become you, Neil, so they can have fun with Michael Savage. There was a vote for secession in Crimea. By the way, the Russians in New York, this is an interesting sub-story. I understand in New York the Russians are celebrating. There were many house parties last night all over New York. If you are of Ukrainian descent, there's probably not been house parties. And okay, it's enough already with the clock. Stop it. So think about it. You've got Russians in New York celebrating. Then you have Ukrainians, let's say, in New York not celebrating. They're very angry. And today is St. Neil, stop it. No more. And today is St. Patty's Day, right? I do not want to go near a Ukrainian bar today. That's all I can say. Okay, if you do it one more time, I'm going to a best of. Stop it. You're overdoing it. No, seriously, you do not want to go near a Ukrainian hall today. No, they're very unhappy, and rightly so. They've lost. They're frightened. And let's be clear here. If I were of Ukrainian descent, I'd be very unhappy and I'd be very worried. Let's be very clear. I would not want to become a colony of Russia. Neil, you've got to stop now. You really do. It's not funny anymore. Now you're starting to get me mad. I wouldn't want to become a colony of Russia. And the fact is, they don't want to become a colony of Russia. Okay? So I'll take your calls on these topics. As far as the plane theory goes, what can we say? What can we say about the plane theory right now? Where is this plane? Tom on KSFO in my hometown of San Francisco. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi, Doctor. So my basic theory on it, I have no clue what happened to the plane, but I do think since China and Russia are in agreement over the Ukraine situation, and if I'm not mistaken, China and Malaysia are kind of close. No, am I wrong about that?
Well, they're closer than we are with Malaysia. Let's put it that way.
All right, well, maybe they did something with it, and they're using this as a whole smoke and mirror rouge to keep us out of the blue of the American public, give us something.
But where are the poor people on this plane, Tom? Where are they? Can you imagine if your relatives, even one of them, rather, was on this plane? You couldn't live with this. The unknown is impossible for a person to live with. But I want you to think back. Every intelligence official in this country of ours, the people were supposed to have faith in, immediately said, no terrorism, no terrorism, no terrorism. When logic dictated it was terrorism, the average educated person said it was terrorism, and it was Muslim terrorism at that, from day one. Why? Not because you're a racist, but because Malaysia is a Muslim country, the pilots were Muslim, and you figured there was funny business.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Russia is a gas station masquerading as a country. It's kleptocracy, it's corruption.
And you're a gas bag masquerading as a senator.
It is really only dependent upon oil and gas for their economy. And so economic sanctions are important. Get some military assistance.
Senile old warmonger. Military assistance. He doesn't remember how Vietnam started, huh? With military assistance and then special trainers called the CIA. See, old war dogs never die. Oh, no. Old war dogs never die. They just go on to bite another day. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here's some breaking news. You've not heard it on any radio show yet today. It came out minutes ago from the Daily Beast. Russia will sanction U.S. senators. Let me repeat that. The loudmouths on our side are saying we're going to sanction Russia and Russian oligarchs. Well, they have a few cards to play, apparently, and they're going to sanction U.S. senators. Putin is set to respond to Obama's sanctions of Russian officials with his own list. Several U.S. senators will be banned from visiting Russia, including Senator Dick Durbin. You remember Dick Durbin? He called our troops Nazis and fascists. Remember that, old Dick Durbin? U.S. senators, congressmen, and top Obama administration officials are sure to be on Putin's sanctions list. This is a response to the Obama administration's announcement on Monday that seven Ruskies and four Ukraine officials would be barred from holding assets or traveling to the U.S. Putin is expected to release his retaliation list as early as tomorrow, while the final list is being crafted. It will include top Obama administration officials and high-profile U.S. Senators in an effort to roughly mirror the U.S. sanctions against the Russian officials. At the top of the list in Congress is Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin, who recently co-authored a resolution criticizing Russia's invasion of Crimea. Now, Durbin's inclusion on Putin's list would mirror Obama's naming of Valentina Matvienko, the head of the upper chamber of the Russian Duma. Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell are not expected to be on the Russian sanctions list. Senator John the Shane McCain, who traveled to Kiev last weekend to stir up Ukrainian leaders, told the Daily Beast that he expects to be on the list and is happy about it. Of course, he's stupid enough to say that. Here's what McCain, the blowhard, said. You think I'm not going to be on it? I'd be honored to be on that list, said McCain. McCain said he would not be impacted financially by being subject to a visa ban and asset freeze in the Russian Federation. I guess I'm going to have to try to withdraw my money from my secret account in St. Petersburg, he joked. Other names that could be on the Russian sanctions list, although not confirmed, are about to be disclosed on the Savage Nation. They include Senators Robert Menendez, roll of the drums, Democrat, New Jersey, of the Hooker fame, Bob the Corker, Republican, Tennessee, the leaders of the so-called Senate Foreign Relations Committee, who are leading the sanctions drive in the Senate, and Victoria Nuland, the so-called Assistant Secretary of Hate for Europe, who has been heavily involved in overthrowing the Yankovych government. One U.S. official who can rest easy is White House press smoke screen mouth, Jay Carney, will not be on Putin's list. I think he's going to be replaced. So these are tit-for-tat sanctions over the Russian invasion of Crimea. And let's hope it doesn't get any worse than this, because McCain wants war. McCain, the old war horse, is advocating for a series of more serious steps, which include the immediate arming of the Ukraine military, which the administration thankfully has rejected for now. I mean, you know, by the way, that's smart not to arm them. That's throwing fuel onto the fire to arm them. Whoever's saying don't arm them is right, because this will be a disaster for the world. But it's going to get a lot hotter before it gets colder, because according to our knowledge and the reading of the situation, Putin may be preparing for a possible invasion of eastern Ukraine, including sending Russian intelligence agents inside Ukraine before a possible expansion of the invasion. Well, this is really much like World War I. And I'm almost thankful that we have an impotent president with regard to foreign policy. I am. I'm thankful he's not a Teddy Roosevelt. I'm thankful he's not an FDR. I'm thankful he's not a Winston Churchill. You know, many of us ridicule him for being weak. I thank God he's weak. Because if he was a macho president, which he is only to his domestic opponents, if he was just as macho towards Putin, we might have a world war on our hands. Think about that one. Now, here's a weird question. Is there any relationship between the hijacking of the jet out of Malaysia and the machinations in Ukraine? Or is it just coincidental? I told you in the last hour what I told you the first day of the hijacking. I believe that when this comes down, and it's pure speculation, that you will find Uyghur separatists involved. That would be my initial guess, based upon what happened to China the week before the hijacking. So if you'd like to talk about any of these topics, the phone number is 855-407-28 to the Savage Nation. You just heard that Russia will sanction U.S. senators in retaliation for the sanctioning of some of their leaders. KKOB, Dave, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, how secure are the people in this world? I'm 76 years old, and I felt more secure during the years of the Second World War. How secure are they when they can't pool all their resources to find one plane in this whole world?
Thank you very much. That's what most people are thinking, especially the geniuses in the intelligence community who were quick to tell us, even though they didn't know anything, that it wasn't terrorism. Remember that the first day? They knew it. They didn't know the first thing about it, but it wasn't terrorism. You remember that?
They're not that intelligent. Not much.
No way. I was talking to a neighbor of mine about this yesterday. I said, you know, doctor, I said they could spot your sneakers from space with the cameras and satellites they have flying overhead, but they can't find the 777. I think they know where the plane is. That's my gut feeling. That plane has not disappeared. They know where it is. China must know where it is. They're afraid to set something off. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Let's go to WABC in New York. Jonathan, thanks for holding. Go ahead, make your point.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to point out, this kind of dovetails on your borders, language, and culture. If you saw pictures over the weekend from the election in Ukraine,
right,
people were standing at the table with passports, all kinds of papers so that they could vote.
Well, the Democrats said that's racist, though. You know, the Democrats have said that the Congressional Black Caucus and the wonderful Democrats said that any voter ID is racist in America. You know why they're saying that. Because if it wasn't for the illegal alien vote and the triple voting and dead people voting, we wouldn't have a Democrat socialist regime running the country.
Something also. I went to Japan a couple of years ago. The minute you get into the country, they ask, when are you leaving? They want to see your return, you know, plane ticket.
Isn't that racist of them? My goodness. We are the only nation on earth that doesn't require voter ID.
They staple a piece of paper.
And the only reason the illegitimate vermin in the Democrat Party, they should all be arrested for this. They are criminals for permitting non-citizens to vote in this country. I don't know how we stand for this. I don't know where the testosterone went in this country. What a joke that a bunch of Democrat socialist gangsters can say that anyone who wants voter ID is a racist, when every country on earth, including island nations in the Caribbean, require voter ID because otherwise they know the vote is a sham, which is why we have the clown in the White House. He was put in through the illegal vote. In fact, Russia is now laughing at Obama and his sanctions. They're calling him a prankster. The merry prankster. I don't know if they're calling him the merry prankster, but they're calling him a prankster. You know. 855-407-282. Let's go to WJR in Detroit. Paul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage. I'm talking about borders of Ukraine. If you look on a map, in western Ukraine, there's a bulge there. That was Poland before 1939 when Stalin invaded, and he's been there ever since. I wonder if the EU's going to, you know, rectify that.
Oh, you mean and give the bulge back to Poland?
Yeah.
Well, I know the Poles have to ask for that. And I wonder if Obama would say that that's an illegitimate consideration of yours.
Well, no, because Stalin's his buddy. So if Stalin did it, it must be good.
It's hard to know what type of world imperialist Obama really is or ascribes to, because we can no longer call him. See, you've got an old world Marxist called Putin fighting a new world Leninist or internationalist called Obama, which is a very interesting a game going on here, and we know how this is going to end, by the way. 855-407-282. Let's shoot over to WFTL in Florida. Ann, welcome to the program. Fire away. I got a minute or two.
Oh, hi, Michael. I just wanted to tell you that I defended you this morning at a bereavement group. with a 91-year-old woman who said that she went on a date, and the man that she had the date with started talking about Michael Savage and how he listens to Michael Savage.
And, yeah, and the woman didn't like him?
No, she hated him. And she said, I'm sure no one here listens to Michael Savage and or likes Michael Savage.
Wait, I don't understand. How old is this woman? How old was she?
91.
How old? She was 91, so she still hasn't learned anything in her 91 years? She's still a moron?
Now she leads a discussion group so that she can tell people the truth.
She's one of those wobblies from New York. One of the ILGW know-it-alls. I know the type.
Yeah.
She's still down with the people. She still thinks the triangle shirtwaist fire just happened. And she's for the common person, even though she votes in three different districts and lives on Social Security and every other racket she could find. Yes, I know the type. The bagel people. I ran away from them. I ran away from the bagel people a long time ago. It's the Savage Nation. I eat bagels every day, by the way. The phone number here is 855. Deputy Prime Minister of Russia laughs at Obama's sanctions. Dmitry Rogozin. He laughed at him. He said he's asking comrade at Barack Obama if some prankster came up with the list. They're laughing at him. It's like Todd Browning's Freaks. Rogozin, a friend of actor Steven Seagal, took to Twitter to tweet Obama, tweeting he thinks some prankster came up with the sanctions list. In a later tweet addressed to, quote, comrade at Barack Obama, he asked, what should do those we who have neither accounts nor property abroad, or you didn't think about it? Another Russian on the sanctions list, Vladislav Surikov. God, it's getting more and more like Notes from the Underground, also seemed unconcerned. Surikov, a top Putin ideologue, often called the Kremlin's gray cardinal, reportedly told a Russian newspaper, it's big honor for me. I don't have accounts abroad. The only thing that interests me in the U.S. are Tupac Shakur, Allen Ginsberg, and Jackson Pollock. I don't need a visa to access their work. I lose nothing. I guess he's stuck in the 50s, because Ginsberg's been dead about 50 years. Jackson Pollock has been dead since people stopped eating haddock, and Tupac Shakur has been gone quite a while. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. The time is 24 minutes after the hour. One of my producers, Doug Lynn, put up the question on my Facebook and Twitter accounts 45 minutes ago on which book title you would prefer for my big blockbuster that's coming out just before the election. One title was Stop the Coming Civil War. The other choice was Borders, Language, Culture, The Savage Truth. And in only 45 minutes, he had 150 answered. 70% want the title Borders, Language, and Culture, The Savage Truth. That's a pretty big margin. That's a very fast response. I'm then going to send it out to my email list, which is very large, and get an answer that way. This is very interactive. I mean, you can't do better than a list like this. And it's going to help me make that book a bestseller. You say, well, you're only helping yourself. You could look at it that way, and I wouldn't deny that there's self-interest involved in publishing a book. But I will tell you that at this stage of my life, with what I've been through, and the book, and what I've been through writing the book for the last year, the reason I'm writing this last book is because it's coming out just before the election. I have one goal in mind. I want it on every coffee table. I want it on every workstation. I want it on every subway car and bus in America. And I think people would be more likely to hold up Borders, Language, and Culture for others to, let us say, peek at than Stop the Coming Civil War, because they don't want to get beaten by the communists and the fascists who are under the guise of being real loving liberals. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the story. KCMO in Kansas City, Chuck from the Powerhouse Station. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Why doesn't Obama just come right out and tell Putin he's a white racist?
Well, I think that's coming. I mean, they've tried every other card that they normally play. Maybe the Congressional Black Caucus can come up and say it's racism. And that Putin really is a Ku Klux Klan member.
Yeah, and he uses that a lot. And also, there's only one party in this country anymore, and that's why things go the way they're going.
Yes, but listen, this is the most important thing we learned from the vote in Crimea. They had very strict voter ID requirements to show that they were citizens. We are the only nation on earth that has no voter ID laws. Do you know that?
Yes. Yes.
And if we had voter ID laws, we would not have this illegitimate government that we have right now. We are being ruled by a tyranny. We have a tyranny, and it's run by illegal aliens and their front men and women. I can tell you the names of every Democrat in this country who have been put over the top by illegal alien votes. Start with California. If it were not for the illegal alien vote, we would have a two-party system. Right now, we have a kleptocracy in California, a purely corrupt kleptocracy in California as a result of the illegitimate illegal vote in this state. Now take it to any other state in the land, and you'll understand how we wound up with an unknown senator from Chicago's wards running the nation into the ground. Thank you for the call. If we learned anything from this charade over the issue in Ukraine, we learned the following. When there is a legitimate vote and democracy at work occurs, if Obama and his minions don't like it, they call it illegal, and then they send in the troops. Remember, Ukraine had a legitimately elected leader. Whether you liked it or not, he was voted in. He was thrown out as a result of mass hysteria, fumed, foamed, stimulated, agitprop by McCain and the EU. They are the ones who overthrew that leader in order to steal Ukraine from Russia and steal Crimea from Russia. So what do you expect Putin to do? And I'm not a Kremlin apologist. I am a realpoliticist. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's a world in turmoil because of the madness of this administration. It's a world gone mad. It's spinning off its axis. In the name of peace, they create war. In the name of business, they create job loss. In the name of fairness, they create unfairness. Shall I go down the list? Because I read Brave New World. I know how it works. War is peace. Love is hate. This is what Obama specializes in. He doesn't even understand that his own rhetoric is unraveling on him. He's a speech. He's, all of a sudden, with the stroke of a pen, our dictator-in-chief says he has a pen, he has a chair, he has a desk, and he's going to sign it, and he does it. And he signs a new law, fresh, brand new law, that he came up with all by his clever little self. Never ran a lemonade stand, never produced a product in the entire world that anyone ever wanted. His entire life was spent pushing papers and community organizing. I mean, unto themselves, those are not crimes. But he doesn't know the first thing about business and what it takes to run and manage a business. So he says, I'm raising the overtime pay. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like it, very, very good. Everyone should be paid for overtime. Until you add it up, and then the business say, wait a minute, we can't afford it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to cut our employees down to 35 hours a week, and we're going to outsource jobs, Mr. President. Now, do you understand what happens when you have a man who has not run a business trying to manage an economy of this size? Which is why I say one of the qualifications for the presidency should be that you've never been a lawyer. Because lawyers don't run businesses, generally. Lawyers are very, very clever at what they do, but they don't know business. Generally, they don't know business at all. They don't run businesses, unless they also happen to be businessmen. But generally, people trained in law are not trained in running a business. A business requires profit and loss. It takes, you need to take risks. You need to invest capital in order to make capital. These are principles that are very hard to understand if you are a lame brain college professor who's never done that. If all you've done is collect a check from a giant bureaucracy like a university, you don't understand that the money comes from somewhere. So what you do is you spend it. You go on trips and junkets and you hire consultants and you give missives and speeches, but you have no idea where the money comes from. That's why the nuts in the colleges walk around saying the world's unfair. What's unfair if they teach 4 hours a week? Anyway, that's one topic. I didn't touch on this topic. I'd like to bring it up, which is pension crisis. How would you fix this? Illinois has an unfunded pension debt of $19 billion. Chicago, $20 billion pension debt. And the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, is struggling to figure out how to pay the balloon payment, which is $1 billion right now, a whopping $1 billion. which is equal to one-third of the city's entire budget. And this is a big story not only for Chicago, but every city in America, perhaps every town in America. Here in the Bay Area of San Francisco, there are people with pensions that would make you cry. The greediest pigs you've ever seen in your life, with pensions nobody can afford. In the town of Larkspur, California, for example, where I have a friend who lives, the roads are the brokenest in the entire county. The streets are broken, and the pensions are gargantuan. And so he put out a little flyer called Potholes Not Pensions, and they hate him for it in the town. They called him a mean person. A mean person for not letting all of the grifters in the city of Larkspur, California, run off to Illinois, or rather run off to North Carolina after they retire from the town of Larkspur with their fat pensions. So, the city's teachers' pensions are widely understood to be one of the worst funded in the country. The teachers' pension fund will require a tripling of its required contribution. So I ask you, how do you think this is going to resolve? You have police department pensions that no one can afford. You have, by the way, many of you say, wait a minute, they earned it and they deserve it. That's not the issue. How are you going to pay for it? According to the Wall Street Journal, the balloon payment in Chicago alone could pay for the salaries of the Chicago Police Department's entire 4,300 officer force, or for the repaving of all 16,000 blocks of roads in the city. And that's just for the balloon payment on the pensions. So what would you do to pay off the pensions in California, San Francisco, San Jose, San Rafael, California, New York City? Raise taxes? That's another example of a bureaucrat's answer. A bureaucrat automatically says just raise taxes on the rich, which means everybody. Cut services. Is that going to fix the problem? You're going to have to raise taxes and cut services, but that's not going to fix the problem. You're going to have to cut the pensions as well. Now, by the way, the state of Illinois comes in at a second place in a number of citizens moving out of the state. Outward migration for the land of Lincoln ranked second only to New Jersey in 2013. So if you care to chime in on the pension crisis, how would you fix it? Phone number is 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. Leave a few lines open for that one. So, where are we today? Obama, after breaking the economy with Obamacare and everything else the man has done, has now signed a new bill. A new bill now ordering overtime pay. Garrett must pay overtime, which will result, in, of course, in fewer work hours and fewer jobs. What else is going on in the world? Whatever you want to talk about. I don't want to hear the word green. Anyone who talks about green is a phony. Anyone who mentions the word green is just a liberal phony. That's all I can tell you. You know what I mean? It's like a religion. Keep it to yourself. I'm not interested in your sexuality nor your religion. Keep it to yourself, and don't tell me how green you are. It's an example of how biased you really are. Because the people who really work at these issues don't tell you about it. They're not Al Gore, holier than thou on it. It's kind of a religious thing. Like, oh, I'm green. I'm greener than thou. Remember, holier than thou? Now it's greener than thou. Green house, green food, green dog, green shoes, green floor. It's sort of a religious thing. I'm greener than thou. How about John McCain going to Ukraine? What do you think about that? Let's play a little bit of the McCain so they get the voice of the gravelly crazy man in clip one, Neil.
Vladimir Putin's statements to the press that these are neo-Nazis and anti-Semites and still denies that it's Russian troops there. I mean, this is right back to the old Cold War rhetoric. And here's the fundamental problem, and the reason why I called it feckless is because this president believes that somehow with this reset that that it will turn Putin into a different person.
All right, this is an old soundbite, but look at the funny head. This old warmonger went over there in December and stirred up the masses, you know, just on the verge of the Olympics, and he got what he wanted. They overthrew a legitimately elected leader of Ukraine. So why wouldn't he want to repeat that? You know, I stayed up last night. I couldn't sleep last night. The one thing that was bothering me the most was McCain. My subconscious kept replaying McCain, and I said, wait a minute. McCain ran for the presidency. I forgot he ran for the presidency. I forgot that he ran against Obama the first time, and that he could have won had he not also been a fall guy of the establishment. Do you remember before the first debate with Obama, when Obama was nothing but an unknown senator and could have easily been defeated by McCain, who had a war record, he was loved by most Americans, people were calling him, and we played it on the show and said, why don't you tell him, mention the Muslim background, his sympathy for Muslims. And McCain was recorded as saying, oh, no, no, ma'am, he's a good American, a nice young man like the rest of us. He's a good American. Do you remember when he did that? The American people were ready to hear the truth about this relationship. Now, let me clear the air on this. Not all Muslims are terrorists. We all know that, but I have to repeat it. And I don't believe the claim that Obama is a closet Muslim myself. However, there was a relationship, certainly in his middle name, Hussein, that was worthy of mention at that time, and McCain refused to talk about it. And I don't believe, by the way, that Obama is anything more than an idealistic progressive type who hates America, because his entire background, education, political history, and stance is a man who is nothing but a university progressive, and he really has difficulty making decisions on his own. He has such an open mind, Obama does, that it stays open for so long that he can't make a decision. President Obama, in my opinion, lacks discipline. President Obama, in my opinion, is unprepared for every unexpected encounter. President Obama, in my opinion, seems to be at his absolute best when he has a teleprompter and is handled like a very skilled actor. Because when President Obama is left to himself, his statements are often very poorly organized, they lack coherence, and they don't seem to even recognize his own espoused views. He seems to be most comfortable to me when he presents himself as a stand-up comedian on an entertainment show or in front of an audience and says things that appear to expect applause and approval because he expects it, and not because he really even understands what he said and its deep meaning. I believe he's a classic academic type. He's unwilling to admit his shortcomings. I believe he, like many like him, are incapable of seeing the pothole that their foot is already standing in. I believe that his management skills and those like him in academia are very limited, and their management skills are actually limited to being managed. I believe that their political aspirations greatly exceed their grasp. I believe that people like Obama are very excellent when they're held up by a support mechanism that has power and money and owns the media and has a willing cadre of people who, like himself, really don't know what they're supporting, but know that all of the chants and the love and the learn that they hear are good. And that's what I think is going on here. But I don't think Obama is a Muslim. Why? Because I don't think he believes in anything but himself. I don't think that Obama is as dangerous as you may think. I think he's far more dangerous than you think. Because, although he may not be a Muslim, he's an anti-American. And I say that with all candor. Virtually every one of his instincts, it's embedded in his DNA. I believe his anti-Americanism is encoded in his DNA, by the way. Now, it's not that he sat in Jeremiah's church for 20 years inculcating this anti-Americanism. I believe that the DNA in President Obama was encoded before he sat in that church. I think he sought out Jeremiah Wright's church because it reaffirmed his hatred for this country. And they say that his hardest 90 minutes in his entire tenure as president, in his own words, was talking to Putin on the red phone and being told, no, you can't have your way, President Obama. So perhaps Clint Eastwood was right, and that the explanation that Clint Eastwood gave is that he is an empty chair. Maybe that's what it really is. Maybe that's what it really is. But remember, even empty chairs can be very dangerous. That's all I have to say on the presidency right now. I tend not to Obama bash because it's not a winning proposition. We've all seen the man at work, and we're not sure that there's any reason to talk about it anymore. We know that because of this military situation, he's basically spent all of his leadership capital. He's shown he has none. He gave one red line after another with Syria, and they came to nothing. And so far as we know, if there were chemical weapons there, they haven't been removed yet. And so now he's on to giving Russia warnings. So what is Putin doing? Well, I told you what Putin's doing. They've launched paratroop exercises right on the border of Ukraine. They're moving tanks up to the border of Ukraine. They're not afraid of him or of Kerry. They know that these are hollow threats. We've got a bunch of bumbling, incompetent, pacifist, liberal politicians who only terrorize citizens who have no power, citizens like you and me. They scare us to death every day. But they have absolutely no guts and no glory when it comes to truly dangerous dictatorships or truly dangerous terrorists. With them, it's look the other way. That's the mark of a petty dictatorship. They turn on their own citizens. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here's Obama and McCain saying that self-determination is a threat to U.S. national security. Can you believe this? That we support self-determination when it's in our interests, and we oppose self-determination when it's not in our interests? You know, think about that. Well, as we weave our way into the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation today, here are the news headlines, missing jet mystery. But really, the headlines are the ones that I wrote, and they go like this. Missing plane, missing president, missing peninsula. Putin gets Crimea and sanctions, while Obama and the EU get a bankrupt Kiev. How's that for a deal? How's that for a deal? And by the way, where is the bigger dictatorship? In Crimea, where they voted? Or in America, where our president rules with a pen and a phone? And will a new Soviet empire emerge from all this? Let's hope not. Should we fear a new Soviet empire? We should. Does the weakness of Obama encourage Putin to expand to a new Soviet empire? Let's hope not. These are the topics we talked about. Obama wrist-slapped Putin and his cronies over Crimea. Oh, my, oh, my. And what did our commander-in-chief do? He used a pen. He used a pen. That's sad. Now, you know, on the other hand, you could argue a weak president is a good president at a time like this, because I certainly don't want to see nukes flying, do you? So let's all praise Obama for being a weak president. Also in the news today, at michaelsavage.com, your one-stop shop for the news headlines, Obama wrist-slaps Putin cronies over Crimea. Oh, we have a new top left. The blue jag is gone. After the vote, Crimeans raised the Soviet flag. Ooh, not the Russian flag. Oh, that's not good. The hammer and sickle, I don't like that. See, I don't like the hammer and sickle. I'll take a Russian flag. I won't take a Soviet flag. More than 7,000 illegal alien sex offenders deported from Texas in past 3 years. I guess they all come here to work. They all come here to work? 9/11-style allegations resurface in the case of the lost plane. Duh. Oh, Muslims, airplanes? Do you have a used 9/11 you'd like to buy? On my website, this is a sick story. A Muslim in Norway wanted to protect his Muslim daughter from becoming Norwegian, so he tortured her to death. How's that for the religion of peace, Mr. Obama? Hamas leader vows many Palestinians soon will murder Israelis for Allah. He'll soon be invited to the White House, no doubt, and be given a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Muslim dad kills daughter and lesbian sex partner in Texas. Uh-oh. Ooh, what can we say that's a result of? Let's see. Christians? No. Jews? No. Let's let that one go. Did you see the story on my website about how a young Rockefeller died at the hands of cannibals? It's an amazing story. Read it. Meanwhile, a gun parts store refused to give feds customer records. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. Savage dominates Hannity in key cities. Missed that one? Well, don't miss it again. If ever you wanted to get a newsletter for free from me, you can. You go to the bottom of michaelsavage.com. You sign up for the Savage Nation's free daily newsletter just by clicking there. And before you know it, three times a week in your inbox, you get all the wit and wisdom of
Savage. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.